There's one word that is famous for Palm Sunday. Do you know what that is?
Hosanna.
Hosanna. And Hosanna, in English, we have as this quite celebratory feeling word that says, Hosanna! It's quite a happy word. But actually, do you know the original Hosanna? Do you know what it really means? It's a strange one. If you've never heard this before, it means, in desperation, please save us.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hosanna isn't really a joyous shout of praise. Really, Hosanna is a cry from desperation that says, please save us, God. It's something that comes from the depth of our heart to God. And so often, and we've sung it today in lots of our songs that say, Hosanna. And we imagine us chanting Hosanna to the King of Kings, and it's great. But actually, Hosanna, in its original meaning, is more like, you're on your knees and you are just crying, God, please, we're praying, save us. Have you got that? So that's really what Palm Sunday is all about. And today we're marking Palm Sunday. It's the last Sunday before Easter Sunday, which of course is a great Sunday, but actually so is Palm Sunday.
Yes, it is.
In some of the Bible translations, above this title section in the book, it says the triumphant entry, because this is all about Jesus entering Jerusalem as a king.
Yes.
This is about Jesus taking his place. No longer is he a rabbi. Actually, now he's coming to take over. Now he's coming to be king. And everything that happens on this day is all about Jesus being in the right place. Being in the right place for his people. Being in the right place for his land. Being in the right place for you and me.
Yeah.
And actually, there's no wonder that it all starts with that one word that is Hosanna, which is acknowledging Jesus, save me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just declaring declaration of something that's, hey, Jesus has come. Actually, it's saying, we need you to save us. That's really what Hosanna is all about. So I want to read with you some of the passage. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to read a big chunk of the story this morning. So it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to your daughter Zion, see the king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. They brought the donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went ahead of him. And those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It's incredible, isn't it? These people are shouting that. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Then Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. Right. Can you imagine the fervor that was happening at this time? Because if you don't know the backstory, if you've never been to church before on Palm Sunday and never heard what was happening sort of around this time, I want to explain a little bit of this to you today. Because they didn't know that Good Friday was about to happen. They didn't know that Jesus, in only a few days' time, was going to get nailed to a cross dead. They didn't know that Easter Sunday was coming, where there was going to be an empty tomb that was going to change life for forever. They didn't have that bit. They thought Jesus riding into town was it. This was their moment. This filled everything they ever had. This was their expectation of their future and everything that was going to be there. And one word summed it up for them: Hosanna. They weren't shouting Hosanna from a good place. They were shouting Hosanna on their knees: save us. That's what they were shouting, because their life was in the pits. Their situation felt hopeless. They didn't feel like everything was working the way it could be. So let's explain a little bit of the story, the fervor, the excitement that's going on behind this. Not only did they know about Jesus because the rumor mill had definitely started, they knew who Jesus was. When they said Jesus of Galilee, Jesus the Nazarene, they knew exactly who that was. He wasn't just the one of the local celebrities. With him and John the Baptist, they ran every bit of news that was out there. Everything that was out there was done by those two. And at this point in time, it was just Jesus. And he's causing a stir everywhere that he goes. In politics, he's causing a stir. In law, he's causing a stir. In how they're behaving, he's causing a stir. When it comes to their social system, he is causing a stir. When it comes to their economy and money management and everything else, he is influencing thousands of people every single time he opens his mouth. In a small-ish community, Jesus had a massive local impact. There's no wonder when he got to Jerusalem, they knew who he was. And they went, finally, he's come to do what we believed he was coming to do. That meant that they were on breaking point of excitement. Okay, this is a kid on Christmas Eve type of excitement. This is knowing that tomorrow everything's going to be awesome, and then you actually see him start to come in. You see him start to do what you've been expecting to do. Everything you've been taught from being a kid, Jesus is going to ride in on a donkey. Well, the Savior is going to ride in on a donkey. He's there, and he's going to be doing it like this, and it's happening. And we know now that everything is going to be changed. But those people that they'd been conquered by the Romans, they'd had their rules subjugated, they'd felt defeated and hopeless. They once were the greatest nation on the planet, and now they weren't. They were under Roman occupation. They were just suffering. They didn't feel like they were the military power or the financial power or the innovators in the world anymore. They felt relatively insignificant, but they knew the prophecies that God had promised. And they were just holding on. Actually, they were holding on to want to go back to the glory days. Yeah. Do you know, there's a lot of Christians do that as well.
Yeah, they do.
There's a lot of me and you do that as well in our own life. If only we could go back 20 years. If only we could go back. If you're older than me, it might be more than 20 years. But if only you can go back and recapture some of that. But you know what? God is a God of forwards. He's a God of progress. He's not a God of yesteryear. He is a God of restoration. But actually what he wants to do is give you a better future.
Yeah.
I love that idea that the days ahead are going to be better than those that have gone before. So take the best imagination that you had of what had gone before, add Jesus to it, and it's going to be even more incredible for what is going to go ahead. So they'd heard about all this, and they were expecting this military ruler to come in, take charge, march straight into the city, go straight to the main places of power, and just be in control. So when they're shouting Hosanna and they're lying in the streets, that's what they're expecting. That was their full expectation. But Jesus was a little bit of a different leader. That wasn't really his purposes. And most of this ideology that they've got comes from this one passage from Zechariah. And I want to read it to you this morning. And it says in Zechariah 9:9, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I'll take away the chariots," Romans, "and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and river to the ends of the earth. And as for you, because of my blood of covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit." And it goes on and on and on. But actually, the donkey was important because it was a symbol of peace. He didn't come riding on a horse as a victorious king out for battle. He came on a donkey. you know it's got the same comparisons of things like King Solomon, and actually was used through the Old Testament quite a few times as a symbol of diffusing the military. Of actually, I'm here to be a peace bringer, not a warmonger. I'm not here to conquer you, I'm here in peace. And a warrior rode a horse, but a peace bringer rode a donkey. Jesus rode a donkey. But also, as part of the symbolic thing that everybody would have understood, when a king was getting coronated, guess what he did? He rode a donkey into Jerusalem. So there's no wonder that this idea of Jesus coming as a savior, fulfilling the Old Testament, but doing what a king does, with all the fervor of the city, it was going to change absolutely everything. But just remember from that passage in the middle of all this, when they were thinking about Hosanna, they were thinking about Jesus coming to bring peace. Not to battle, just to bring peace. Jesus didn't just come to be part of king of just one part. He was going to be king of everything. Sea to sea, river to the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, that's what Jesus was coming to be. And he came to rescue you from a pit. Because sometimes you can have a king, but if you're still in prison, you're still in prison. You know, in our country, if there's a general election going to be happening this year, just because a general election happens doesn't mean that prisoners are set free. It doesn't mean that your mortgage is going to be wiped off. And it doesn't mean that your health report from the doctors is going to change because of who's in power. Except when Jesus came in, he changes something that actually says, just because you feel like you're in a pit right now, when Jesus comes, you're rescued from it. That doesn't mean that your mortgage gets paid off straight away, but it does mean that we have some hope at the end of it, that God is going to rescue us from a hard position and change every single thing about us. There's no wonder that they were shouting Hosanna, because actually this was their whole world changing. This was them going from an insignificant, downtrodden people to being champions of the world again. Or at least that's what they thought. Which is why in John 12, 13, they're shouting, Hosanna! And you can imagine them now, they're shouting Hosanna, knowing they've tried it their own way. Romans are still here. They've tried to work it out every other way they can. Not going to work. So they're actually shouting, save us! And then they're acknowledging something. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. What were they doing? Acknowledging, we need saving, and we need saving by something that God is going to provide for us, and he's going to be our king. He's going to be somebody that we're going to respect, somebody that we're going to put up there. We forget that in 5 days' time they shouted, crucify him. But actually, right now, they're saying, he's our king. They're trying to promote him into that place. And in Matthew 21, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Their day was coming. And the whole of this sermon, the whole of this message is all about a simple challenge for you that actually says, what areas of your life are you willing to cry Hosanna over? Because it's quite a something to actually do, to actually take an area of your life and say, I can't do this my way. I've got to give this to God. When you say, I'm not going to try and make it work with my own intellect. I'm going to submit this to God's will. I'm going to submit this over wholly to Jesus' hand. When you can say, in a position of desperation, actually realizing there is no hope but Jesus, to say, Hosanna, save us. Save my situation. That might be that you need to say Hosanna about your future, your plans. That might be that you need to say Hosanna about what is your hope? Or Hosanna over your finances? Or Hosanna over your family? Or Hosanna over your health? Do you know that God is fully interested in every single part of your life? He's not just interested in a little bit of something that's going on in your circumstances or in a situation that's there for somebody else. God cares about you and he wants to intervene in your life. But it takes you and me saying, God, save us, and not trying to do it our own way. So I want to think about a few things that Jesus did in the middle of this as well. He rode into Jerusalem. Do you know that was quite a scary thing to do? particularly because Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that he had enemies there. He knew that not everybody was going to accept him. The intellect, the spiritual people there didn't like him and were desperately trying to find a way to trip him up and to knock him down. Actually, keep him lowly. Keep him beyond a place where he could ever rise into what God had for him. Those same people had done exactly the same with the children of Israel. Their own people, they'd kept squashed down. Rather than letting them choose to connect with God, they'd created all sorts of rules and bullied everybody into all sorts of things. So there's no wonder. And there's this verse from Luke 19, verse 41. And it says that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Do you know, in life, if me and you aren't a little bit disappointed with where we're at and the state of the world right now, we need to understand what Jesus' heart was and weep like Jesus wept, because we haven't got it all sorted. One day we'll get to heaven and then we'll really understand what sorted is. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I want that.
Yeah.
That's going to change absolutely everything about planet earth. It's going to change absolutely everything about me. And that's what Jesus was, I believe, really weeping for, that place of saying, I want to see this city, I want to see this world changed altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it to be different. And he's heard people shout Hosanna to him, and he still wept. Because we know what they did in only a few days' time. When they didn't embrace him as their king then, they shouted, crucify him. The next thing Jesus did is he went and put things in order. He went to the temple, he got the tables, woof. He got the people who were trying to make money the way they shouldn't be, cracked his whip, and he got rid of them.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it just for no sense. He did it because he wanted real order when it came to worshipping and honoring who God was. And actually, the people had got to a place where they weren't honoring God in the right way. They weren't doing the right thing in their hearts when it came to God. So in Luke 19, verse 45, when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling, saying, it is written, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. And then every day he was teaching in the temple. And what was Jesus doing? Doing what God had asked him to do, keeping things in the right way, getting rid of stuff in his life that what in God's temple that wasn't right, not being around those practices that he knew weren't there, and he was focused on what God wanted him to do. Then he did what he wanted, what God asked him to do. Teaching in the temple, Matthew 21, verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Set them free, basically, from poverty, set them free from the stigma of life that they were in, and totally changed their future. It's the way that God does things all the time with us. Sometimes he touches us, heals us, changes our circumstance. Sometimes he forgave us. Sometimes he makes a resource available for us. God is a God that wants to change our lives, but he changes our lives for his plans for us. Also, remember that colt and donkey. You know, it was a resource that was tied up against the wall somewhere, just waiting. Waiting for Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that God has those things in our world. We call it providence. We call it the fact that God has a provision for you.
Yeah.
Do you know, sometimes your provision is just tied up somewhere,
yeah,
waiting for us to hear God that says, go and get it.
Come on.
Untie it. Use it.
Come on.
I don't know what your donkey might be. I don't know whether God's told you to go and untie something or not. That might be part of your health, or it might be part of your hope, or it might be something of finance. I don't know what that is, but it's a resource that we have to access at just the right time. So when God says, go and untie it and bring it to me, God will provide all that we need. Because all the resources you ever need, Jesus has. Do you know, the answer to what's in your future of importance, Jesus has got. The answer to your hope, Jesus has got. The answer to your finances, and I'm sure we'd all like to be able to have great finances and more finances and abundant finances, but who's got it?
Jesus.
Jesus has got it. The answer to your family, the answer to your health. But we need to call Hosanna. Yeah. We need to get to that place where we're saying, God, save us. Because it's not what I want. It's not about me just trying anymore. It's not about me going and untying random donkeys all over the place that weren't mine to take in the first place. It's about me saying, Jesus, save us. And then he'll show us just what we need to do in the right steps. So I'm coming to conclude this message now. And I don't really know how to be able to say this to you, but we need to find a place of humility in our hearts, in our lives, where we can cry, Hosanna. Not because of an expectant victory, but from a place of abandonment that says, there is no hope but Jesus. There is no answer but without Jesus. There is no place for me to be anything. I am nobody but for Jesus. Where actually we're shouting Hosanna, not in victory, but knowing who the victor is. Yeah, because it's so important that we humble ourselves and acknowledge who Jesus is. We humble ourselves and say, what a smart boy am I? No, how good is my God? Where we say that everything we've got is his. We need to let Jesus be in full control of your life. And in a minute or two, we're going to sing a song. And the song says Hosanna in it. But it also makes some other declarations in that song that talks about us seeing a generation of people taking their place. Do you know that's you and me saying Hosanna? That's you and me saying, God, I can't do this, but I need you to do it. It says, I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek, and we're on our knees, and we're on our knees, and we're saying, Jesus, save us. We're saying, Hosanna. And I don't know what your Hosanna moments are today, but you need to remember who you're saying Hosanna to. You're not saying Hosanna to a man. You're not saying Hosanna to a political movement. You're not saying Hosanna to a king. You're saying Hosanna to the King of Heaven, to God himself, to Jesus Christ, who conquered death, who came to life for you and for me, made a brand new deal, and every dominion and every power is under his authority. That's who we're saying we need to save us. That's who we're saying we're putting in the right place in our life. There's two more verses to this song that says, heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen and show me how to love like you have loved me. It's incredible, isn't it? Just the imagery in that of what is coming at Easter, where Jesus loved you. He loved you watching at home so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, to change your future, to change your life, to bring your hope. It's got a verse as well. It says, break my heart for what breaks yours, everything I am for your kingdom's cause, and as I walk from earth to eternity. Do you know, so often, what I do day to day is what I want to do. Not so much what God wants to do. Shouting Hosanna, stop saying, not me, but start saying, all to God. It needs to be. So today, I want to challenge you to say Hosanna. I want to challenge you to say Hosanna for your future. Hosanna for your hope. Yeah. Hosanna for your finances. Hosanna to your family. Hosanna to your health. I don't know what else is going on in your life, but this morning, as we sing this song, I want you to make a declaration before God again that says, Hosanna, save us. And I believe that as you do that today, God will meet you. He will meet your needs, and he will provide all the provision that you need in that area. Amen.